say that across the board.
You think for me,
I won't say across the board.
And I think
say that across the board.
You think for me,
I won't say across the board.
And I think
I
need to get back to
space. Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships. Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have another show where it's going to get tough. Well, actually, maybe not tough, considering the topic for this show is Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. And we want to hear how you feel about this book, the movie. I mean, do you really feel like women need to act like men to get on in society? Do you really feel like people are taking Steve's taking perspective on the book and what it was supposed to do? Are we taking it too far? We want to hear from you tonight. And, of course, you can call in at 760-683-6262. Of course, you have your Heather.
Good evening.
And you have Mr. Jeff.
What up, everybody? What's going on?
And then, of course, you have me. Well, anyway, so let's jump right on into this conversation started, and let's talk about this. Now, one of the biggest things that, you know, everyone is always talking about is this whole 90-day rule, getting the respect. Well, here's the thing. Okay, so let me backtrack. So for those of you who don't have the book, so he breaks it down like so. And I'm pulling it up. And so it tells you about the mindset of a man, talks about what drives men, our love, their love is not like a woman's love, the three things every man needs, which is support, loyalty, and the cookie being ladies, our goodies. But anyway, we need to talk, in other words that make men run for cover. Then it goes into why men do what they do. And then we have the meat of the book is the playbook, which is how to win the game. Why you're considering a relationship a game, I have no idea, but, you know, hey, great play on words. And that goes over men who respect standards, the five questions every woman should ask before he gets in too deep, the 90-day rule, getting the respect you deserve, if he's meeting the kids after you decide he's the one, it's too late, strong, dependent, and lonely women, how to get the ring, and then quick answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. And later on in the show, depending on how hot and heavy we get, we'll be able to put out some of those questions and answers. So, let's go back. Heather, what do you feel? Heather, Jeff, how do you feel about this whole 90 days?
I mean, I definitely understand the mentality behind it, but I think that there is not, there is no proof positive wait time on where you could be intimate. And I think there are people who will tell you, I mean, my best friend in my head, Wendy Williams, always talks about how she did have sex on the first date with her husband, and they've been married several years now, so...
She's been married for quite some time now.
Yeah, over 11, 12 years.
So do you think that in today's society, with everybody wanting to taste it before they, you know, taste it, sample it before they get involved or whatever, because they need to make sure that this person is sexually compatible, do you think the 90-day rule even would take place in today's society?
Well, I think it'll take place. I think, honestly... when you're looking at someone to be a mate, how you meet and how you come to that conclusion, if I see you in a club and we both attracted to each other, you got on your outfit and I got on my go get 'em girl outfit, the ideal that at that meeting is that we would look at each other in more of an attractive, wanting to be with one another way. If there's a blind date situation where you set me up with someone and I go and meet and we go to dinner and then we decide, okay, we'll go out on another date, you're more prone to wait because you're not there off of the physicality. You're there off of we're both trying to meet someone, we're both trying to go in a certain direction. So I think folks are definitely willing to wait, especially when they value themselves, they value the person that they're with. I don't think that anybody would be against waiting. I think the notion that people won't wait is more of the problem versus people really being okay with waiting. Now, what I do understand is some guys say, yeah, I'll wait with her, but while I'm waiting, I'm screwing somebody else. And to the woman, that's perfectly fine, at least in my mind, until you're committed to me. If that's what you got to do, if I'm telling you that you got to hold off on me, then that's what you got to do for you.
Hmm. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
I think the 90-day rule is stupid. You're not meant to. The 90-day rule, if you apply it to every guy that you come across that you want to be hot and heavy with or what have you, you're not going to do it every guy you come across. So. That just takes us deeper into the rabbit hole of, you know, why you have to make this one guy respect you over the six other guys before you get to the dude that you're actually supposed to be with for the rest of your life or marry. I say it's stupid because it shows y'all in a light where you are. I mean, everything that we say about you guys wanting a relationship and all that stuff is definitely true if you're applying the 90-day rule. And, you know, some of y'all will argue, no, this is not the case. But if you're going to apply the 90-day rule, that's part of it. Number two, you could really somebody the first time out the gate. A level of respect. It's a respect for you just being a person who knows that you want to get with this guy and have sex with this guy, so you go ahead and you have it. You're not, you're not treating him as a potential husband. You have a desire. You have a need for sex. So you go get that filled. You write yourself a prescription. You go get it filled. Hopefully, in the end, there's no hurt, no harm, no foul. Get up. Go your separate ways, and you had yourself a good night. So, I think it's stupid.
Well, according to the book and how he prefaces, he was talking about working at the Ford company and before he was able to get any benefits or anything like that, he had to put in the work. And so his concept or his equation is work hard, prove yourself, and then you get the benefits.
That explanation is not for the chick who just wants to quit. It's not for the chick who realizes that she wants to go fuck the fireman.
Okay, but we're not necessarily talking about the chick who's just trying to get laid or who's trying to, you know, do whatever. We're talking about, from what I'm gathering from this book, is that this book is intended for ladies who are trying to figure out what it is that's going on in the mindset of men so that they can have a healthy relationship. And by doing in order to have a healthy relationship, we need to be able to understand the mindset of men. So we need to think like them. I mean, in all honesty, Jeff, if you had five girls who gave it to you up before the first 90 days, are you really looking at them like marriage material? Like for real, for real?
Well, why wouldn't you though? I'm asking a question.
You see, this is my thing. You're asking a question with an assumption behind it that I'm looking for a wife when I choose a sexual partner, and that's where it's dumb. That's where you can't put that assumption on me.
So it's an okay.
But
rule.
I think also the flip side to that is, I get what Jeff is saying, that the rule is dumb. The flip side to that is, though, I think that he's saying to the woman who is looking for a mate and a serious guy, guys don't necessarily take you serious if they have sex with you on the first date. Or not even that, but to say, give it 90 days. Number one, to assess if you even like this person, if your body is something you want to give this person. Give it 90 days when you're looking for something more. Because the mindset, and although there are the women out there that are just looking to get theirs off and move forward, the mindset is two things, and you know how I feel, like you're not doing anything unemotionally attached. But the mindset is, if I do this, then he'll do this. And that's a misnomer. Just like if you don't do it, he's not going to do A, B, and C.
If you decide to wait the 90 days and you finally decide that you're going to sleep with a guy and all he did was just wait you out, you are still in the same position before day one.
Absolutely.
You're going to be talking about why these guys want to run game all the time, why these guys can't be mature. You're going to look like an idiot after day 93 because you gave us the cookie and he bounced.
Unless it was my cookie, then he was really, really, really satisfied. No, but I agree.
So if you that's something that, you know, I don't know if the book touches on it.
The book says that more likely than not, a guy who gets benefits early in a relationship without having to put in work or prove himself leaves and moves on to a committed relationship with a woman who puts him through some type of probationary period to find out more about him.
I think here again, though, the weight of sex and sexuality is not clear in a relationship, because it is true. I mean, I feel like if it means nothing to a person and if they've negated it and it's just an activity, it's sort of like how we say in church, you just doing bodily activity, if you're praising this and that or whatever, you just doing a whole bunch of dancing. I mean, it's almost like it's just an activity on one hand to people, and then on another hand, it is a show of affection, of love, of intimacy. And so depending on where it is with you determines what you get back from it, depending on the investment you put in it and the expectation you put on it. I don't think that it should be used as a bargaining tool. So it shouldn't be, not even in preliminary relationship where, well, I got to have sex with him because he's saying that, you know, he got to test drive the car before he can buy it, or he's not going to be sticking around 90 days because that's stupid. If we both attract to each other and we want to have sex, why can't we do it? We consider an adult. Like, all of that comes into play.
Okay. One of the questions from the chat room is, how does one prove him? How do you prove yourself?
Woman or man?
Either or.
Well, I mean, everybody knows how you prove yourself. You gotta go through something. And not be day. You gotta go through, like, serious topic discussion. You gotta go through getting through serious beef between the he and the she. You gotta go through meeting family, meeting friends.
In 90 days?
No, I'm saying the proof can't be in 90 days.
Yeah, I mean, a person can do a whole lot of faking in 90 days. I mean, we've all worked with people who have made it through a 180-day probationary period and were still a piece of crap. So, I mean, we all present our representative. I think, though, that authentically you learn a person over a period of time, and only you can determine whether or not you're ready for that step of sexual intimacy. And it all depends on what your intentions are behind the relationship. You know, you can't feel like you want a husband, or you can't just be out, oh, I'm just looking for somebody just to be with somebody, and try to turn it into something else that it's not. Like, what is his intention? What is he looking for? What am I looking for? Like, that's all part of the discovery and learning. And I think in 90 days, you're just getting the very basics. I mean, you're learning basic stuff about the person, family, you know, what they do as a career, what they like, what they don't like, what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat, that kind of stuff. I don't think in 90 days you can determine whether or not somebody is a person that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
In 90 days, the 90-day rule doesn't even apply, doesn't even imply that you're spending 90 days with that person. We're talking about what happened in between the 90 days. Like, we're talking like what? That might be, you might see them once a week. You might see them every other week. And that's what, dinner and just talking, or you talking to them on the phone, you sending emails, you sending text messages nowadays. So how can you truly gauge off of that? Whether or not you want to go ahead and sleep with somebody. My whole thing is,
I think, this is what I will say, in 90 days, what you're proving are some character things. Are you a person of your word, meaning, if you say, I'm going to be there at 9, I'll be there at 9. If you say, let's get together on Wednesday, yes, I'm open, we agree to Wednesday, you keep your word about that. I think those are the things that you see in 90 days. Does this person keep their word? How do they manage themselves? How do they respect themselves? How do they handle them? Because I think generally, however a person loves and cares for themselves is how they're going to love and care for you. And I just honestly believe that. So in 90 days, there really isn't a proving of anything to you. It's not like you say something and now you have to prove it. It's more like a showing time. You're showing, this is who I am, in a very basic, non-committal, non-aggressive or evasive way. we can talk, we can get together. I mean, I think in those 90 days you see whether or not that person really has a life or whether or not you're going to be swallowed up into it. Like, you know, some women cut off everything, get all wrapped up into him and everything. I think that's the time where you see things that down the road where people say, oh, it went bad or it went sour. You saw that in those first 90 days. Like, it's not good every time he asks, you want to go here, you want to do this, for you to always be available. You need to be busy sometimes. Even if you don't have nothing to do, you need to be busy.
Okay. All right. In the book, it says that there are a few things in this whole 90-day scope of getting to know and holding out on the cookies. Here are a couple of things that you might want to find out. And I want y'all to tell me if these are valid things that y'all feel that you should know or not. Okay, one, how does he react when you tell him you've got some problems, such as the car has broke down or the water heater is about to give out or your kids are acting up? Then how does your man react under pressure? How does he react to bad news? How does he react when he's told no? Yeah, those are the three things, or four things. What do y'all think
about?
In 90 days.
Well, see, I think in 90 days you shouldn't be talking about your water heater and issues with your children. I just think that's inappropriate for you.
Okay. Jeff, you think that that's inappropriate too?
Yeah, because you probably won't bring him around. You probably won't even actually bring him around the kids for about maybe like a year plus.
Huh? Yeah. Say that again. What'd you say?
You probably won't bring him around the kids for probably about a good year of dating him.
Okay, well, see, further on in the books, and please understand, I ain't read the book because I was totally against it, and so I'm paraphrasing through this book as we're on this show. But one of his topics is that you're wasting time if it takes you a year for you to allow this person to meet your kids. Because I believe that what he said in the book was, if you wait a whole year to find out that you, your kids, and this man don't even clash together, you've wasted a whole year, or something to that effect.
No, I think that you know pretty early on whether or not your children or this person is amenable towards your children, or could work out. That doesn't mean that they need to meet one another. Because at the end of the day, honestly, the kids are going to conform to whatever you're doing in a certain age bracket, in a certain age range.
I was
going to
say, what kid are you talking about? Because these kids nowadays is unruly.
Well, that's because there's a lack of parenting. That's not how it should be, but I think there's always going to be some resistance because that's not the biological parent. I think the dynamics of the relationship need to be clear, and that doesn't matter if you meet them on day one or day 51. So to me, that doesn't really matter. I think you need to definitely determine, is this somebody that you want to be with? Are y'all going to be together for the long haul? Is there a long haul? And I think what Joey is saying is that amount of time before they meet your children is absolutely appropriate. Unless it's 100% totally unavoidable, it is definitely appropriate that you wait. Because you don't need to keep bringing people in your children's life and back out. That's crazy. So every 90 days, your kids gonna meet somebody new?
I'm just telling you what the man said in his book. And I don't have no kids.
I don't think she wants you to defend it like you said it. Deidre, but I mean,
I mean, like I said before, I'm not crazy about this book. It took, you know, it literally almost took somebody bending my arm back to even go see the movie, which was actually very funny. Kevin Hart made the movie. But I'm just saying, I think that some of this stuff is ridiculous. And so I couldn't tell you, you know, I'm not a mother, so I don't know about letting my child meet some man or letting, you know, I don't know.
I think there's a difference between meeting, interacting, what role that person, you know, the level of interaction that you have. I mean, situations are different. And so...
Well, okay, so I'm reading a little bit, and it says, he says, a man needs to be able to see all he's going to be responsible for up front. If he sees you in the role as a mother, he's going to immediately try to figure out if he sees himself in the role as a father. He's going to evaluate if he can afford those children, if he wants to be bothered with the drama that comes when a baby daddy is lurking in the background, whether he can handle any animosity that may come his way, and finally, if he wants to play second fiddle to the children, whose needs you surely will meet many moons before his. All of these things, and then some, will be taken into account. These are why Go ahead.
I think all of that is on display for you as a woman. So what I'm saying is that when he calls and says, let's get together tonight, no, I have PTA, or no, Johnny has a soccer game, he then knows that you're an active parent and you're involved. So that's one showing. If there is an active co-parent, be it mother or father, and the child is going away for the weekend, going away for holidays, summer breaks, you know, extended week exchange or whatever, then he knows that there's another active parent. It is very easy for you, and it's no secret, I think, when you're getting to know one another, when you talk about, yes, I have a kid, are you? I mean, the questions come the same. I mean, I've heard it 1,000 times. Are you and the father still together? No. Why'd y'all break up? Y'all still get along? Does he still participate? Oh, that's good that y'all have a good relationship. Oh, that's sad. I hate when women are like that or when men are like that. So those details are already out there, and he can assess she's a mother, number one. He's a child, a son, or, you know, well, not a son or a daughter, but he's a son. So he understands the necessity of a mother and what that means and how he has his mother. He's going to expect nothing less. And I think women disrespect or don't respect a woman who does not respect her place as a mother with her children or her child. When they see you be nonchalant about that, although there are men who sit around and take advantage of that, they take advantage of it because they know you'll do it, but they don't have any respect for you for doing it.
Okay.
And so I think you don't need to be introduced to the children and included in family functions and things and all of that to determine whether or not you want to be responsible, you can afford, whether or not there's any animosity between the two parents. I don't think you need to meet children for that.
Well, one of our chatters says that she hasn't introduced her child to her partner, and it's been 13 months. She said that they have all of their lives for him to meet her. So perfect example. So she says that he has all of his life for him to meet her because she says for him it's forever. She's his forever. So what's the problem? Why can't the baby meet the dude if you done committed to forever? What's the problem? Am I missing something?
But that's the thing.
Well, no, absolutely. If you've committed forever, that's for you. But I think you need to. I think you need to slow walk that relationship with the children especially depending on the age of the child. You know, that's a big.
So what you gonna? Okay, say your child is 5. What you gonna wait 5, 6, 7 years before?
No. A 5-year-old is a lot more amenable to meeting someone, but they also need you to handle the conflict in their mind that this person isn't my mom or my dad. And so who are they? What are they? And also you take the risk of that 5-year-old getting attached to someone and having to move beyond them if y'all don't work out. So I'm saying that's why you have to slow walk it, put it in boundaries, put it in parameters, help them understand the relationship between you and that person, and then you determine and set the goals for the relationship between them and that person. So at 5, I think you should be saying, Mr. Jeff, how are you? Speaking, going on about your way. It ain't like we're doing a whole bunch of family outings. We're still a little independent in us dating. If there's something that we have to do that includes the child, it's more of an open type situation.
So
not
there,
us cuddle buddies and them seeing all of that.
Okay.
I just think you have to be careful. I'm not saying that you gotta hide the person from them. They should meet one another. They should, you know, if this person is important to you, your kids should know this person is important to me. That doesn't mean that you're going to see him all the time or that you're going to be interacting with him. I mean, if you see he or she when they come to pick me up or we leave to go out, that's fine. If, you know, it's a Sunday and we all go to brunch, that's fine. But just sitting up and every little thing and playing house and family, no, that's not fine.
Well,
the relationship has to be developed.
But Steve says the longer you hold off introducing him to the kids, the more he's going to think that there's something wrong with them.
That's not true.
Okay.
I mean, I can speak for myself. I've been in pretty unique situations where the person was around my child prior to me being involved with them. So it wasn't as if it was such a scratch or somebody new. So there was a previous relationship. Let me put it that way. So if, like, I dated a gentleman, our family, you know, my best friend, he was my best friend's cousin. And so we'd interact. We had seen each other. We had all been around one another. So for me to begin dating him and Avery be around him, it wasn't like he was somebody new. We knew each other. Our families knew each other, that kind of thing. I think when there is a relationship that's already identified and it's there, then you can build off of that. But in no way, I mean, there are people that I've dated that have never met Avery, and I've dated them for a long time. There are people that I've dated, and Avery's never known that I've dated them. And he's been around them, so I think you have to measure, you know, what your expectation is, what you want your child to see, what you want your child to know, and how you want that relationship to be built and developed.
Okay. Now, he also says that some men want to be able to see you in your motherly state because men recognize that some women aren't cut out to be mothers. There's no automatic mothering gene that kicks in for women just because they can carry and birth babies. And so they want to be able to see that. Like, this could potentially be the woman that I want to marry, so I don't want to wait 2 years and find out that you beat little Johnny, and I think that that's a no-go. Or,
okay, so in his book, he's stating basically that the guy wants to see you in mother mode, meaning with the children that you had in the prior relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. Let me give you some specific wordage. Okay, no. Okay, go on. Keep going.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
If it's okay in Steve's book for a guy to basically test drive you in motherhood because you have a child already?
Why can he test drive you in sex?
Huh?
Why can't he just have sex with you then? He can see your children in less than 90 days, but he can't see your vagina?
That's what I'm saying. So if it's okay to test drive you as a mother because you have a child already, I know you had sex before you got a kid. Why can't we just do it for self and have sex and see if we're, if a compatibility issue there as well, the sexual compatibility. So why can't we just cross that T and dot that I and get that out of the way?
Yeah, and I think sometimes, I think also, not just with relationships, but the other people that are involved, the other parent, sometimes you may decide to say, we don't need to introduce children.
Ooh.
Like, we don't need to do that. I mean, there are people who date, you know they have a child, and you don't necessarily need, I mean, look at folks who have adult children. They date, they don't say, oh, well, my children need to fly in town to meet you, or you need to fly here and meet my children.
Okay,
I'm going
but that's different.
New York
Heather,
to visit my kid. What's different about it?
That's different because those kids are not in the house.
Unless you're going to the place of marriage. And even at that point, it's going to still be some relationship building that needs to take place. That I just don't think that they need to see that right up front, right out the gate.
Okay. Well, it does not appear that we're very much liking this whole book that Steve's been written. So, if there's anybody out there that is listening who has read the book and was felt that it was very positive and they understood exactly what Steve was getting at, why don't you call in at 760-683-2662 so that we can hear from someone who gets it? Because I'm still in the dark. I think it's garbage, but that's neither here nor there. Okay.
I want to say that I really do think that Steve's book has a level of dust on it, because this information that he has is not, quote-unquote, truly universal information. Times have changed a little bit, and there's a couple of different avenues that, you know, he's not really touching on, that are, you know, they're just out there in the world today, and that's where this book can take a serious turn. I think the foundation of it all, you know, it is okay, but like I said, I think there's just too many little nuances out there in the world today where everything can just go from bad to worse and just be totally different out the box than what it's supposed to say. So I think that's
Okay, so at the end of the chapter, it says, you'll know he'll make a good father if he tells you he likes kids and actually would like to have one someday. 2, he expresses interest in meeting your kids. He shows up to the house with gifts for the kids. He lets the children see that he sincerely respects and likes and even loves their mother. He makes a kid-friendly date with you and invites your children along. He takes you and the kids to church. He has a good job and a solid work history. He's kind to his mother and checks in with her often. His nieces and nephews spend considerable time with him. He has younger siblings he's helped care for when he was younger. He has a pet, and it actually gets fed and taken care of. He keeps his house clean and knows how to cook a few decent meals. He's financially prepared to care for you and your children. He can and is willing to comfort your child when he or she hurts herself or himself. He doesn't faint at the sight of diapers. He can get down and dirty with your
children.
Okay,
but see, I feel like if you're still in diapers, you need to be somewhere sat and down.
Okay, so Heather, so you saying that if I have a baby and it's 3 months old, I don't need to be seeing nobody? Like, so when can I date again?
I'm not saying that you don't need to be, but I just know with breastfeeding and 3 month old babies, it wasn't in the good cards for me.
I'm just
and
concerned.
I think even if you have your child around, like a young child like that, that really makes a difference. But there's so many variables and factors that come with that, you know, especially if your child's other parent is not on board with you moving on with your life. Sometimes it's better to just keep that separate. And then I also think, you know, it's better to build a relationship that is solid between the two of you. And that only comes with time, that if you can keep things separate. I don't think when a person doesn't introduce you to their children or have you around their children, I mean, I used to feel like this, that they're hiding something or trying to keep you away. I think it keeps boundaries. It says, you know, you don't have to concern, because sometimes people get into gift buying, and I've seen situations where people have lapped up on the kids to get somebody, and then when they get them, they're not really concerned or care about the children. That was all a facade. And there's no guarantee that because you like the person and are in love with them, that your child is going to like them or be in love with them. And so, I mean, I think you got to develop where you all are in a relationship before you just go to heave ho. And
I'm sorry, but me personally, I don't think if you are single before you give birth to a child, I don't think that you should be dating again or trying to date again until that child is 1 year old. You got too much to go through and worry about getting that child to that. You know, I would consider a stable state to where you can, you know, feel comfortable about really bringing somebody around your child and have to worry about, like, the child sick, if the person getting sick, if a child is sick and you got you and your so-called man sitting up in the crib and, you know, he doesn't know how to, you know, be off to the side. Because we've all just been up under each other, now you get the added tension of, like y'all said earlier, you know, the woman, she's going to take care of her child. And that can cause friction in a relationship to, like, go, oh, I'm just going to go. And she's going to be like, no, stay. And then she, you know, she's going to be torn. Or she might just be like, well, you know, you just have to find something to do, or you can go ahead and leave, and he's going to feel like, okay, well, you really don't care about it. Then we, you know, like I'm saying, see what I'm saying? So it's that point where you're starting. You got problems being started. And you really don't need those when all you're doing is doing what you should be doing.
You can.
Child term one, you have that great big birthday party that's not about the child. And then on day five, at child's one, then you know, put the stilettos on and start getting it put out.
Go ahead, Deidre.
No, I was just going to say that one of our chatters said that that what Jeff is saying sounds drastic, and that you sound crazy.
No, it doesn't. I mean, how does that sound crazy? You're pregnant. I mean, I've never known anybody. I mean, well, I have. I take that back. That's a lie. If you're pregnant and you're not with that child's father and another man decides to date you while you're pregnant, it's like, okay. But if you're single and you have a child, Jeff is absolutely right. The first year, you're nurturing, you're bonding. you're getting life on track. And if you're not in a relationship or doing it by yourself or even with the child's father, you're defining the boundaries and the path for how you guys are going to co-parent and all of that. How do you really have time? I don't remember having time to date.
Okay. One, the person said you make time. And number two, if she was with the child's father, she would be having relations. So why couldn't she have relations with someone else? She's still bonding with her child. If she was with the baby's father.
Could. No. But we're not talking about having relations. We're talking about dating.
Well, dating.
Well, we all got time to screw when the baby is asleep. Ain't nobody say when nobody having sex the first year. We said a relationship and dating. And I'm not saying that you can't do it, but is it necessary?
So you're saying that for the first 2 years of my child's life, I have to completely focus on that child?
Okay,
no.
He said the first year.
But there are several people who teach that if you are single and you have a child, you shouldn't date until you've raised that child and they're 18 and grown and gone. That theory has been out for ages and people totally believe in it.
Okay, so she can have a booty call or a friend with benefits, but she just can't be in a relationship.
I'm not saying, I can only speak for me. I don't know where you find the time or the energy with a newborn that first year, getting back into life, going back to work, getting your patterns and all that down packed. I mean, even married couples talk about how difficult it is to have sex, to have some time alone, to go out on a date, to do stuff. And yes, you can say make time all day long, but we all know how hard it is to make time when time is what it is. It's 24 hours in that day. And yes, you could say, okay, I'm not going to do nothing else, but something is going to lack. And when everything is a priority or is mandatory and it can't lack, then you give up things like sex. You give up things like going out on a date night. You just do. That's just how it works.
I mean, but okay, now we all know those people who are like, you know, I'm not dating anyone until my child is out of the house. So had that person in that first year or second year was still trying to go out and do things, maybe they wouldn't be like a dried old hag at 18 years
but
later.
But you're not no dried old hag. Let me speak for myself. That first year, time being spent with a child, with a newborn, I didn't say I didn't have a social life. I didn't say I didn't do anything, and all I did was the baby. But there's very little time for you to date and give of yourself to someone as you would in the beginning stages of a relationship. You don't have that kind of time to invest in someone else.
Yeah, see, but then if you don't, then you're going to be like, I don't even want to bother with it. I got too much on my hand. I just need to focus on my daughter. I need to focus on my son.
Yeah,
ain't nobody
after the first year, too. Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm saying is after that first or the second year, you go into your third year, and you're like, you know what? Me and my baby, we good. We're going to be ride or die.
No, you
ain't
don't.
Got time
no,
for
you
no
don't.
Husband.
No, you don't.
How else do you get women who are like, yeah, my child is five, and then 18 years later they're like, okay, yeah, now I'm ready to date. What? Ooh. You mean to tell me you ain't dated nobody? No, it was just me and my baby. This is my baby.
But some people make that decision.
That's crazy.
It's not crazy because it's what works for them. That's the commitment they've made to their children.
That's crazy.
And to not be distracted and to give them their 100 undivided. And that's fine if that's the choice that you make. I'm just simply saying that it can be difficult on either end. And you had a person is always going to do what they want to do and not necessarily what's best.
Mm. One of our other callers said, in my opinion, you are a person first, a parent second. You still have personal needs. You have to take a care of yourself first.
Yes, taking care of yourself, spending some adult time, masturbating, having sex, interacting, all of those things, yes, you should do. But I can guarantee you with a newborn baby, with a 4, 5, 6-month-old, you don't have time to just be sitting up on the phone for an hour, texting, going out 2-3 times a week like you live in a single life.
I'm not saying that you're living the single life. I'm just saying it just seems a bit harsh that y'all are saying that you can't date. I mean, hello, multitasking? Really? Like the baby's
okay.
Gonna take
First
all
of all,
half
of y'all can multitask with a regular 3-year-old.
I think y'all are tripping, really. I really do.
No, I'm not.
But then again,
and I've never known anybody who had a newborn baby who that was even on the brain. Like, I'm single, I want to get out and mingle. Like, that's like the furthest thing from your mind. And you should take care of you. I mean, you still, and you do, you make time to hang out with your girlfriends, to hang out with other mothers, get your hair done, get your nails done. But dating and relationship and finding a man and having sex is so secondary because you've just used your body to transport this child. In my case, you use your body to feed and nurture this child. Sex is, like, so far off the radar.
Okay. Again, I think that that's just crazy. But call us. Please call in at 760-683-2662. Because I'm sure that y'all are thinking that they're crazy just like me. Like, really?
No,
like,
I'm not. Yeah. Okay, well, when you have yours, and if you have a husband or not, we're going to see how that pans out.
Well, see, it's going to be different for me because I want a baby. I probably would be the mother that would be like, no, I'm lying. I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lying. I'm going to be out.
Mm-mm. We're going to be like, Deirdre, come on now. I got a baby.
Right, because, hello, by the time I have a baby, I'll be done waiting 30-plus years for it to come. So I'm like, look, I need to spend all this time with the baby. Okay.
Everything's going to be about the baby.
It will. Okay. So let's go into, since this is probably where I fall, let's talk about this whole strong, independent, and lonely women. What does he say?
Strong, independent, and lonely.
Uh-huh.
He talking about you, Deidre.
I love that. I love that.
Heather, well, I mean, I'm trying to understand why, even though I said it, I don't need you agreeing with it. That was supposed to be a joke.
Nope.
I mean, really?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm sorry. You're fine. Very sorry.
Okay, I don't have time to read all this because I get off track and all this kind of stuff. But basically, in the movie, the strong, independent woman, her expectations were like off the roof. If she was the character, she was the youngest vice president in her company, so she was looking for someone who had exactly that. They had their finances in order. They, knew they were very cultured and all this kind of stuff. And so because she was trying to find the image of her, she ended up being lonely.
First things first.
Do what?
Opposites attract. That's the first thing I can say to throw at that whole thing.
Because then the other saying is birds of a feather flock together. So if we're like-minded, we're going to end up merging together.
Birds of a feather flock together is who you work with. Opposites attract has always been put towards relationships. Birds of a feather flock together, I have never heard that put towards relationships.
But I'm saying if you have two business-minded people and we're networking because we're people who love to network and get out there and all this kind of stuff, guess what? I'm going to be going to the same places that this person goes to because that's we're like-minded. And then... because we like the same thing, there's a whole bunch of conversation. Oh, my God.
I have to stop you right there because the primal opposite right there is that you were talking about a man. You were talking about an opposite of you. This is not rocket science, y'all. So you were talking about, networking. You at happy hour networking, passing out business cards, but you want to go home and sleep with a man.
Are you saying that the men are not at happy hour? They're not networking? Because I'm lost. I miss something?
You said birds of a feather flock together.
Meaning, like-minded people go to the same places. So if this man is about his business, he's about networking and doing it, he's going to be in those places. And because
right.
Common interests, it's not about, we're two different people. Opposites attract. No, we have things alike.
But what I'm trying to tell you, opposites attract is overarching that birds of a feather thing because you are going to be attracted to a man. This is ABC primal stuff here I'm talking. You are opposite to a man. A man is opposite to you. I don't care if you're wearing a business suit, at happy hour. I don't care if you're at some networking thing or whatever. At the end of the day, you are going to be attracted. If you are in a place of like-minded people, you are going to be attracted to your opposite. Unless, of course, we're talking about a gay woman or a gay woman, gay man. If we're not talking about them, then we're talking about Deidre being like-minded, being in a place with Frederick, and Frederick is a man.
Okay, you're saying an opposite attract. Okay, so I'm attracted to men, period. Point blank, that's it. End of story. Opposites attract.
Right.
Okay.
It starts there, Deidre. I'm saying it starts there. You throw out yours, I throw out mine. I'm just trying to tell you that mine trumps yours because it's overarching. Because mine has different levels to it.
Okay. Heather, what do you say?
Well, I don't know. Because I hear what you both are saying. But I think that mentality of strong, independent says, I don't need you. Mm-hmm. And that's why you don't get it.
The lady in the book who was the strong, independent woman, she's driving a Mercedes-Benz with her high-powered job. She wouldn't look at the garbage man. She wouldn't look at the owner of a McDonald's. She might look at the owner of a chain of McDonald's restaurants. But that's probably only she don't look at him.
she would look at a McDonald's owner, even if he had his own, if he just had one franchise, she would look at him because she's seen the entrepreneurial spirit in him. Now, if he was working at McDonald's as a shift manager, probably not.
Why not, though? That's an honest job.
No, but I'm saying if we're thinking about the independent woman based on the movie and all that kind of stuff, the way she was thinking, he needed to have a certain level of accomplishment.
Which don't make sense. The accomplishments, because what? There's a certain impression or standard that she has to give to her friends and family, or?
No.
What?
Because she has worked hard to obtained all of these accomplishments in her life, so she would like her equal. She wants to be able, how do they say it out there? She wants somebody to give it to her 100. If she's giving 100, she wants the man to give back 100 versus he only got 35%. So she's covering the rest. I don't want to do that. Is that so bad?
She would be strong. That's so bad. She's also strong and independent and loving. Ask that question again.
Say that again.
Ask your question again. She's strong, she's independent, and she's lonely. And you ask the question, is that bad?
Well, no, I'm saying. Okay. Well, in his book, he says that a man who is pursuing this strong, independent woman who's pursuing your affection and you have everything, and he's never allowed by you to exhibit his ability to provide or protect, then how can he possibly see himself professing his love to a woman who has not allowed him to feel like a man? But I've met some guys who don't want to provide. They're very happy with the lady doing all, taking care of the stuff. Anyway, he said the translation was, we appreciate it when women treat us like men, when you let us know that you need us. The need to feel needed is way bigger to us than we've let on. We have to feel needed by you in order to fulfill our destiny as a man. Is that true, Jeff?
Is it what?
Is that true?
I mean, yeah. I mean, because everybody wants to feel that when you're in a relationship, there is give and there is take,
mm-hmm.
And that's part of it for us, for guys. That's part of our give and take. Now we're not gonna fall on our sword. You know, and be like, oh, my God, I want to protect you. Oh, my God. No, we're not going to do that. But, that, like I said, it's still part of our give and take.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. So let's just give an example. So you have a lady who has decided, I'm going to be the first one who's graduated from college in my family. And after I do that, then I want to become an executive vice president or an executive president or whatever at a Fortune 500 company. You know, I want to be able to have a couple of properties. I want to do this. And so, bam, I'm focused. Leave high school. I do everything that I want to do. And now, if I'm not... Wait, hold up, because I was reading it. he says that if, in guys' minds, if you got your own money, you don't need a, you don't need ours. If you know karate and can knock somebody flat on his behind by yourself, then you don't need our protection. And if we can't exercise two of the major components that make up who we are as men, providing and protecting, then we're not about to profess our love for you. So, you mean to tell me I can't do for myself without you feeling like you're not needed?
Here's the thing. If you are all those things that you read about that young lady, how she wants to decide she wants to get out of those things, but she ends up like the woman in the book, I mean, but she ends up like the woman in the movie,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to give a guy that, the woman in the movie was not trying to give, she was only trying to give the lane to certain people in certain situations. And what she ended up with was not what she really wanted. She wanted some old, she wanted a guy to have everything that she had, but give her basically, it ought to be a guy that's in a relationship with a woman who is not in the Fortune 500 company who's going to let him do for her. See what I'm saying? So if you're going to stand on, I can do for myself, I can do for myself, I can do for myself, you do not show a dude that he can come in and, like, link up with you to provide what you don't have. Because you're always talking about, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it.
Okay, but sometimes you get so caught up in just doing it and accomplishing your goals and stuff like that, so you've handled it for 15, 20 years, and a dude comes in. And he's like, I got this. Okay, yeah, my automatic response is, no, I got it. Hell, I've been doing it for 15, 20 years. It's not that I'm not saying that you couldn't do it, but I'm so programmed to do it myself. It's not that I'm trying to make you feel less than a man. It's just I've done it.
Right. You've done it because you've done it because you've been alone. You've been doing it for 15 years because you've been alone. You haven't been doing that. You haven't been doing it by yourself for 15 years in a relationship that you just got out of, because that would probably be a piss poor dude.
Yeah,
so
but I'm saying
you've been doing it by yourself. So
okay.
You don't, at that point, at 15 years, you do not know. You are not, and you've been out of a relationship for 15 years. So, yes, it would be automatic for you to be like, I'm going to go ahead and do this myself. You've been alone for 15 years.
Okay, well, let it be 4 years. Let it be 5 years. I mean, dude, still, once you do something, what do they say? You do something 14 times in a row, it becomes habit. So if I'm used to paying for my own stuff and making sure the stuff is taken care of around the house, hell, that doesn't mean I'm trying to make you feel less than a man. It's just I've been doing it. Jeez.
I think more to the point is that just like you as a woman want to see your value and your opportunity with a man, he needs to see that from you. Because if you're saying to me, I've been doing it for 15 years, paying my own bills, doing this, doing that, changing my size, okay, then what do you really need me here for?
Because I want you here.
But how do you show somebody that you want them around?
What I'm trying to say is that...
No, answer my question. Don't tell me what you're trying to say. Answer my question.
Tell me your question again, Heather.
How do you show a person that you want them around?
I tell you I want you around.
How do you show? I didn't say how do you say it.
Obviously, Heather, if I've not been in a relationship for 15 years, I don't know how to show you, so I'm going to tell you.
Okay, how you show a person is by giving them, just like you do a child, here's your job.
Oh my God.
Come here, you want to be my helper? This
really?
Is how you validate them. You're the big sister, so go get me a pamper.
Good girl. Thanks. See, you're the big sister. Go get me this. They have a job. You have a duty. You have a routine. You have a role.
That's how you want. That's what the guys
No,
want.
They want to be in their role. What is his role? Because if you're going to pay all the bills, if you're going to change all the tires, you're going to buy all the grocery, you're going to dictate this and do that, then what is his role here? Just to be a sex object? Or just to sit here so you can say, I got a man? He wants more value to his role than that. The same way you as a woman, I don't want to be just a show piece. I don't want to just be an arm piece. What is my role here? What is my value? What is my job? What do I do here? So you show him by giving him a role. What is his role in your life? What do you need that he, what does he have that you need, and what is it that you need that only he can have and that he can do? And you nurture that in each other. That's how you show. Not just telling and just saying, come sit over my house, come go with me to the family event so that people don't think I'm by myself.
If you can't, if Deidre the woman, where she is now, could meet up with, a woman on the level of being able to hang out with Michelle Obama, if a woman was in a relationship and got to that level with Michelle Obama, she would have already gone through in her relationship discussing roles and responsibilities in her relationship. All that would have been grown and cultivated as they both move up in life and in ranks and money and all that stuff and stature. But if you already if you get there, if you don't approach. You have to approach, you can't approach relationship on a superstar status once you get up, because that whole situation, we've seen it. It's skewed. It's not the same thing as if Deidre now meets a guy on her level now and then you try and cultivate a different situation. And because it's that totally different situation, you cannot throw Deidre's situation now, or anybody's situation now, to a person, to the woman in the woman in the movie who is CEO, driving a van, got three houses, got a boat, always going to Paris. You can't throw the type of the same situation on her for relationship. The only thing you can probably do on it and throw on it the same is, look, meet somebody new, take it slow to see where it goes. But if you don't let you do that, then you're gonna end up being alone again, because he's not gonna, like Heather was saying, he's not gonna see an inroads to put to see his role in the relationship that you see that.
Deidre wants the best of both worlds, Jeff.
What is that exactly?
I don't know. You made it up in your head.
Okay, you just said I want the best of both worlds. What is that exactly? Tell me so I'll know.
To have, to be strong, independent, and not be lonely. And this is doable. There are a lot of strong, independent, connected women. I just think that the way you go about it, and you can't determine. I definitely think you need to be of like mind, of like allegiance, morals, ethnic standards, whatever. But to say, if I'm a VP and I've worked hard and I got a PhD and a master's, and he decided high school was it for him, and he wanted to be a street artist, that you're incompatible because he has not achieved, in your eyes, what success is. because that may not be success for him.
Okay, first
and that
of
doesn't
all,
necessarily make you successful.
Okay, first of all, let's be clear. When I'm talking about this strong, independent person, like
I'm
I've
not
been
talking about you. I'm not directing this at you.
Okay,
I'm not directing
but,
this at you.
But,
I'm making the statement
are,
based on what
but
you said.
But you're making statements saying Deidre wants the best of both worlds.
That was one independent statement
okay.
away
well,
from.
Well,
the,
we're just making it clear. That's all.
But you don't have to make it clear. When I pause and switch gears, which
well,
are normally
just,
commas and semicolons
but I'm making
and writing.
It clear. Okay.
Whatever.
What?
So you would date the fry guy at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Now
for
you
me,
made it clear.
All is, for all, well, see, but the thing is, don't make assumptions.
I didn't make an assumption. I asked
okay,
the question
no,
so that it would be clear.
No, what you did earlier was you said Deidre wants the best of both worlds.
You do.
No.
And I'm not just talking about in this aspect. Like, you want to be able to tell somebody you want kids and to get married on the first date
I
and expect them to stick around
I
beyond the 90 days.
And guess
yeah.
what? It'll happen. It'll
okay.
happen.
And
now,
you know what?
It,
I will be the first.
Okay, well, then you will be the first. How about that?
I'll be the first to celebrate it, to congratulate it, and to initiate.
Well, get ready. Because it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to the wedding. I'm going to get her a corn kiss.
I still don't think you should tell them, but if you must.
Okay, well, thank you for your opinion. I choose to go otherwise. Do otherwise. It worked for me.
It doesn't work for you because it's not working.
It works for me.
It's not working.
Okay. Whatever. I'm good with how it's going down then. How about that?
If you say so. I'm trying to get you married in with a baby, so.
It'll happen. It just may not happen the way
it can happen tonight. It can happen tonight.
No, it can't happen tonight.
Yes, it could.
Okay.
Don't block it.
Okay, Heather.
Have
we're
a one-night stand.
We're
going
to agree
to
disagree. Okay.
No, you can have a one-night stand, baby taking care
How
of.
How about
just fall
we're
going
to agree
them.
To disagree? How about that? Thanks.
You don't get to cut me off, because if I want to keep talking about this, I'm going to keep talking about this.
We're just
move
on.
Did you try to dismiss me, Jeff? Really?
Well,
when she knows.
Okay, so guess what? We're going to keep it moving.
No,
we
I'm
got
still talking about this.
We're talking about it's 12 minutes left in the conversation. This is not about Deidre's love life. This is about act like a lady and think like a man. So, as I said early on in the conversation, there are some quick answers to the questions you always wanted to ask. Cut it out. It's not even that serious. So, the question is, what do men find sexy?
That you leave something to be discovered, so not on the first date.
A confident woman is incredibly attractive no matter what mold she fits in. Men are also very visual people, so there's no question men will check out a woman's clothes, the way she walks, her makeup, her feet, her hands, her daintiness. Little escapes are noticed. But men have different choices, so what may be a turnoff for one man may be a total turn on for another. Next thing. How do men
okay, but
feel...
Stop. Jeff.
Yes.
Do we need that to tell us that?
What?
Did we need the book to tell us that?
No. Maybe you got to know your audience.
you got, if you don't know your audience, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
You don't think it was an audience for that?
Huh?
You don't think it was an audience for that?
Well, I guess he was saying it for the chicks who hadn't figured it out. The clueless.
Okay.
But I don't think women are that clueless.
No, I mean, not some. Some are. But that could just be the fact that you're coming into your own still. You know what I'm saying?
Question number two. How do men feel about plastic surgery, weave, colored contacts, fake nails, etc.? For the average man, whatever you're doing to make yourself look beautiful while you're hanging on his arm is cool by him. Boob jobs, tummy tucks, breast reductions, nose job, if it makes you feel beautiful, we're good. But if you're telling your man you want a nose job and he sees nothing wrong with the nose you already have, then maybe you ought to think about leaving your nose alone. Why run the risk of something going wrong when your man is already happy with the way you look? Why lose the extra weight if your man is happy with you the way you are? Sure, fine for you to do if it's something you want to do for yourself, but a man isn't going to care about it one way or the other if he's already happy with what you have. Is that true, Jeff?
Yes, it is.
Okay. How do men feel about dating women who are significantly younger than them? A lot of men in their 40s and 50s start trying to validate themselves by going out with women who are significantly younger. It's the equivalent of those same age men going out and buying itty-bitty sports cars with big engines that make a lot of noise. They do this because their engine doesn't make a lot of noise anymore. This is especially true if that man doesn't have his life together. This isn't a reflection on women at all. It's his problem. But guess what? There's a younger man looking at you right now saying to himself, wow, I sure wouldn't mind validating myself with her. There's a lot of that going on too, you know. Like I said before, there's someone or somebody for everybody.
Again, I will say that part of Steve's information is dusty. And the reason why I say that is because in this day and time, there are dudes who are 30 and 40 and 50 years old who don't look 30, 40, and 50 years old. So it's not even like if they're single, they might not be trying to attract a 20-something-year-old woman. It's just the fact that they look like they might be of that age because they're taking good care of themselves, because they're not stuffy in their mannerisms and the way they act and how they talk to people. So when they figure out that you're 25, they don't try to tell you how to live your life. They're just like, oh, they can sit there and converse with you. It's no skin off their back. So, you know, it's a little dusty because those lines, the age lines, are getting blurred a little bit. So for a 50-something-year-old guy who's taking good care of himself to, I don't want to say pull, but to attract a 20-something-year-old female, yeah, you know, that's an easy thing to do. I mean, age will come up, but it'll probably get put away just the same way, just as quick as it came up, because of the simple fact that you look the way you look, you're accepting of me who I am at my age and what I could possibly bring to this situation or relationship. And we go on building from there.
Okay. Do men prefer skinny or thick women? As was pointed out earlier, Men like all kinds of women. There's a man out there for every body type. Will you date or marry a woman who smokes? Again, there's somebody out there for everybody. What do men think of their women? What do men think of their women when they gain weight or look different than they did in the beginning of the relationship? A man who loves you is going to love you regardless. As we ourselves get bellies and love handles, we certainly understand yours. Do men prefer women in flats or heels? Really? Heels, baby, heels. If we could get athletic shoes with heels for women, we would. Would a man date a dumb woman? A smart man can't date a dumb woman, but he can use a dumb woman. Most smart men don't want to date a dumb woman because we need to know that she can handle herself and our affairs, especially if we're thinking about giving her a ring. Should a woman buy a man gifts while they're dating? Only if you're in a committed relationship. Other than that, all he'll think is, A, you're trying to trap him, and B, you expect something in return. How do men feel about women who ask for money? Don't do it in the beginning of the relationship. Okay. The rest of these are garbage questions. They're common sense. But then pretty much all of them were common sense. Here's one. Why don't men like to cuddle after sex? Because we're hot. We're exhausted. We put in a lot of work. We're sweaty and burning up, and we just need to hold on to you for a minute before we come climbing over to the side of our bed talking about holding something. So, yeah, there's another good 10 or 15 other questions left, but, you know. Act like a lady, think like a man is in stores, and, of course, we only really covered the game portion of it. I'm sure that there's some other valid information that's in there. Please go and check out his book, you know. See for yourself. You do still have do what?
If you dare.
Right. That's funny. So we still have less than a minute to, we have less than 2 minutes to go. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Come back every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'd love to hear from you. Jeff, Heather, are there any things that you want to take us on out with?
I enjoyed the conversation.
I would just like to say to everyone out there, I hope that you are humping your way out of this Wednesday evening.
Whatever. All right,
I hope
y'all.
I hope you hump your way in, actually.
That's funny. All right, you guys, we love you, and we'll see you next week.
For me,
Amongst Friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love,